Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine given the state of the world and everything. I'm excited.
Okay, well, now I sound like an ass for saying I'm doing
No, I mean, I think it's okay to be doing good. I'm excited for this. We're about to talk about good people and fun things. It's just, you know, anytime we have fun nowadays, it has to be with like 20,000 disclaimers just because everything is bad all the time. But this is the fun one. This is the fun one.
We had to do a whole episode as a disclaimer of like, here's all the horrible things that happened at the Olympics and get that out of the way. So this is technically part two of our Olympics coverage where we talk about the skating that we did like.
Yes, I'm so excited. I am realizing just now that this is potentially the last of our Olympics coverage, which feels insane.
I was literally just thinking that immediately before recording. I was like, I think this is the conclusion to our Olympics coverage. And it feels crazy because it's been this thing that's been like looming in the distance for like the entirety of the podcast because we started it pretty shortly after the last Olympics.
Yeah. And now this is it. And Worlds is in 3 weeks. So that's still going on. But it's weird to be almost done with the Olympics. I'm almost stalling because I don't want to be done.
I know, seriously. And I think we even stalled like recording this episode a little bit because it just felt so overwhelming to like talk about the Olympics and things kept happening. And I feel about Worlds right now like after Christmas would end and then I would start counting down on my birthday.
I find myself actually very excited for Worlds, but that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
Before we get going, I just real quick want to say that we've had a lot of new people join us, which is fucking awesome, and thank you so much. And if this is one of your first episodes with us, welcome. This is a better preview of what this show usually is like. We like to have fun here. This is comedy most of the time, and we just happen to talk about figure skating while we do the funny things. We appreciate you being here, and we're so grateful you're on board. I've been so very touched by just the myriad of people who keep, like, adding us while they're listening with just, like, this made me laugh, or like, oh my god, I agree with whatever you guys said. It just makes me so happy. And I just wanted to remind y'all that a very quantifiable way to make this reach even more people is to let the review section of your favorite podcatcher know that you're having fun. Your Apple Podcasts or your Stitchers and your Spotifys and the rest of it. 5 stars and just a couple of words. The words could be more than 5 or less than 5. The stars should be 5. The words should be whatever amount of words you feel like sharing. It just helps a lot on the weird algorithmic end of things. And we would greatly appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. We also have a Patreon, which we'll get out of the way now. If you want to hear our bonus episodes, we did quite a few last month. Usually we do roughly one a month. And they're typically either extra skating content that we couldn't fit on the show, or sometimes it's just random stuff that has nothing to do with skating. Either way, if you're interested, patreon.com/iced tea pod.
Some of our proceeds from Patreon, most of it goes towards keeping the lights on in the metaphorical studio, as you know, but a bunch of it also goes to supporting people and causes that we feel need support. And I feel like this is as good a segue as any to just kind of acknowledge that there is a lot in the world that needs our attention and support nowadays. This is not a socio-political podcast, and we're not going to tell you how you should feel or anything, but war is very bad and terrifying, and we just want to say that we stand with the people of Ukraine and with the people, the normal common people in Russia who are caught in the middle of this bullshit. Because if anyone tells you that those people are on board with this, that's straight up propaganda and you should not be buying it. Also worth noting, people have been victims to similar events in other ends of the world for years and years and years, and we can talk about why our attention is here now some other time. And we are simple sports fans and artists. All we can say is, you know, stand in solidarity with the common people who are suffering. Try to help as much as you can and make sure you're getting your information from good, reliable sources, because propaganda and lies come in many, many ways. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I have truly nothing to add. It's okay to say you don't know enough to talk about it, and that's what I'm going to do. And I will say, though, insofar as it impacts figure skating, you know, Russia has been banned from participating in a lot of things until further notice. They're not allowed at Worlds. They're not allowed at...
Just anything.
Like anything. Well, the ISU is like until further notice. And so I would bet my hat that they will be back in the fall in international competition.
I mean, honestly, if we get Russian athletes back at the price of this war being settled by then, I'd be somewhat at peace with that, I think.
Yeah, it feels truly fucking insane to me that, like, I don't know, like a month ago, I was like, wow, maybe Russia will be banned from going to international events because of this doping thing. And now it's a month later and it's like, well,
yeah, I had this conversation with my dad where he was like, you know, we were trying to talk about how this is almost unprecedented, and he was like, how do you feel about it? And I was like, honestly, obviously, there is no funny way to say I would rather none of this was happening, but also it's been a long time coming for this particular federation and our particular sport to be banned from it. It's just not how I imagined it happening.
Yeah, well, because, you know, you hear all these people that were like, if drugging a little girl isn't enough to get you banned from international competition, then gosh, what would be? Turns out people literally have to die. But like, it's not possible to tease out exactly the motives behind any decision ever when things are happening behind closed doors. But for whatever reason, it's all happening kind of at the same time and probably inextricably in people's minds who are making these decisions. So just a wild time.
Yeah. Also, one last thing, and I'll move on. And we can have fun, is obviously there is things that feel and are bigger on a larger scale, on a life or death scale, happening right now. I urge you to still very much remember that children were very much drugged, and that's still very much a thing. And I bet there is some official somewhere who's hoping that we're gonna forget about that because a lot of other things are going on. And with, you know, care for your sanity and everything, I urge you to find some time to remember that that's also happening. Let's have fun now.
Let's do it. Okay, so as we said before, we already kind of talked about the whole Russian doping thing last time, and we also already talked a lot about the team event, like, right after it happened from our hotel room in Germany, so you can check that out on Patreon if you want to hear our thoughts on the team event. We're going to talk singles today. Yes. Our usual bread and butter, except
yes, we're going
special.
Back to, like, talking about just our favorites in the singles field. It's weird because it's both, like, oh my god, this is the last of our Olympic coverage. And also, like, this is the most normal our episode outlines as a peek behind the curtain have looked in a while. It's just, hey, some men skated and some women skated, and we're gonna mention them and gush about it. This is it.
Yeah, we are. I arbitrarily put women first in the outline.
I just think that women.
I put women first in my life. I put women first in the outline.
Yes.
So both because we've already discussed it and because we're just sort of on an indefinite boycott of discussing the Russian women's team as it is now, we're going to talk about the top three in our hearts as opposed to the top three on the podium. And I guess we'll start with Wakaba Higuchi.
I got everything I could have wanted from Wakaba at the Olympics. She was perfect for the duration of the whole thing. We got the triple axel. We got the fucking Lion King was perfect. Everything was, like, if you'd gotten me to write the fanfiction version of, like, Wakaba goes to the Olympics, here's how it goes. Aside from the bullshit, this is what I would have written.
Yeah, and truly, if it were not for the fact that, like, so much else was going on under the umbrella of, like, is the judging fair? Wakaba was pretty robbed, and I think that's a pretty unanimous opinion. To skate that beautifully with triple axels in both programs, I mean, how do you end up not in the top three in any field? I truly could not tell you. That felt really unfair, and I think in a different Olympics where the unfairness ceiling wasn't so unbelievably high.
Yeah, it's some of it most of it points wise felt insane. It was one of those vindicating moments where everyone and their mom on the internet and like in general as folks who enjoy watching the sport was in complete agreement. Everyone knows that she was perfect. I haven't seen one person be like, well, actually, blah, 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 which honestly is as far as things can get, I think, nowadays.
It's true. It's kind of how you have to approach the sport, as we've said a million times. And I sort of, this is me putting on my tinfoil hat a little bit again, because it's just permanently on my head now after this Olympics.
Oh,
I can't take it off. It's on when I shower and everything. I get the feeling, one gets the feeling, one being me, that it was like, okay, fine. We can have a Japanese woman on the podium, but only one of them, just one. We can't have more than one do very, very well. We can only have one. And I just felt, I don't know, to me, it felt like that was the thing. And Wakaba was like a victim of that. But I don't know, maybe that's just my crazy speculation there. I just can't think of any reason why she didn't place higher, but you know,
I just think if we're going to blame the clearly deeply unbiased judging, I just think that she fell victim to, I don't think Kaori was meant to do what she did in the eyes of whoever makes those calls. I don't think it was ever a matter of, okay, fine, we can have one Japanese woman on the podium. I think it was always just, we're gonna just fudge the numbers as much as we need. And at the end of the day, there wasn't enough budging to be done.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, there's only so much we can complain. Like getting to perform like that twice at the Olympics, three times
enough.
Really, because was she not in the team event too?
Yeah, she was. She just did perfect across the board. And honestly, if I were her, I'd be very, very, very proud of the entire, you know what? Yeah, of the entire event as it went.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just glad she got to go. I'm glad she got to skate her best. And like, at the end of the day, like, no one's going to remember what scores or whatever, but they're going to remember the performances that really impacted them.
Yeah. She ended up, I think we started with her because we're so excited. She did end up fifth overall. So technically, I guess the people's silver medalist. If we get rid of the ROC.
Wait, for real? For some reason, I thought she ended up as the people's bronze.
No.
Do I have her and Young Yu reversed in my brain?
Yes, you do.
Oh my
gosh,
okay.
Because they were reversed in the free skate.
That's why. I always do that. I look at the free skate scores instead of the overall scores by accident. Yeah, her Lion King, I think, is
transcendent.
The program. It's transcendent. It's the program that really stuck with me, like, after the women's event. Thinking back, like, that was the one that really stuck with me. So that's a win.
I mean, the women's free was unhinged in so many ways, and I think something that's I'm always going to remember as like a positive, if there could be one, of the whole thing is both Wakaba and Kaori's ability to put out just completely undeniable performances within the context of like the entire skating world falling apart around them in just so many ways. I'm not gonna recount what happened. Yo, so what happened? We all remember. It's just such a testament to like the power and like brain stability and just presence of mind of both of those athletes to just be in that group and be like, nah, we're still gonna skate perfect, actually, for as testament to who they are as athletes and performers and artists. And
yeah, I mean, we talk a lot about the idea of, you know, oh, how much of our emphasis on like mental toughness of athletes is like a toxic idea versus how much of it is actual, like they're pushing through and it's admirable. And I think it's hard to know if you don't know them personally, but the feeling I got from being a bystander watching this and assigning a narrative to it was that, you know, Kaori and Wakaba were out there skating for themselves, knowing that they were really deserving and probably weren't going to get what they deserved scores wise. And they did and they didn't, but they still just wanted to go out and do their best, and they did. And that was really, I think that takes a lot to go out there and know that you're maybe not going to win, but you have to do your best anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I understand, like, the opposition to kind of talking about mental toughness is, like, a thing that requires people to push through when they're incapable of pushing through. But I think it's very admirable to be so completely undeniably aware of how deserving you are of people's praise and attention and how good you are at a thing, to have like the presence of mind and the confidence to be like, whatever the numbers end up being, fucking look at this, you're welcome. I think that's very, very fucking powerful.
Yeah, I think the difference lies in the fact that they're not like unwell and pushing through that in a way that's detrimental. As far as we know, they're just pushing through the fact that the world isn't as fair as we want to believe when it comes to things like sports.
Yeah.
And that's relatable, I think, for everybody watching, because I think everybody has come up against a moment where just life wasn't fair and it didn't feel fair that it wasn't fair.
No, my life is fair all the time.
Oh, man.
Yeah, my life's great all the time. I've never once experienced an injustice.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's why you're not an Olympic figure skater.
Fuck! Yeah.
It's the only reason.
There you have it. The only reason, truly. Anyway, Young Yu is the people's bronze medalist. Technically ended up in sixth.
We started this out on a great note by me like completely switching the order of things. But like, whatever. It doesn't matter. The rules are made up and the points don't matter. Is that whose line?
There it is.
Yeah. It's also the Olympics now.
It's also the Olympics. I opened up just now Young Yu's Wikipedia page just to like look at her while I talk about her. And I just want to compel everyone to go back to her 2018 the Pirates of the Caribbean costume that she has, you know, with the red pants. I know we're talking about the Olympics now, and I've sung the praises of both of her programs like so many times at this point this season. I'm just looking at the red pants she wore for her Pirates of the Caribbean again, and I feel like we should do like a nice like loose pant more often. It's so good. I'm dropping this picture in chat so you don't have to like look for it. I just need you to talk to me about those pants.
Oh yes, Pirates of Red Pants.
Like a little loose pant, I think, is so underrated. We're doing like so many cat suits and stuff, which is awesome. But I think like a pant with movement could have been a moment.
Yeah, it could have. I think that for me, Young Yu at the Olympics was about her finally breaking through that shell of like really, really, really emoting to the audience and being like this totally magnificent, complete skater that we always knew she could be. But she always looked like she was kind of dealing with nerves or like not quite feeling it. It really felt like she went out there and much like we were saying with Wakaba and Kaori, just went out there and was like, this is my time. I'm going to shine. And she did.
She that sounds absolutely like a did.
Natasha Bedingfield song.
Oh, God. It sounds like something that like a girl in the second warm up group of an event skates to.
This is my time. I'm going to shine.
There you go. TM, TM, TM. The only thing I do want to add about Young Yu, and I've said this so many times already, but her Les Mis is potentially one of the best Les Mises to have been done since the conception of Les Mis.
Les Mises, like when she gets married.
Yes, there you go. The cut is perfect. Her costume for it is perfect. The one time when it finally clicked and she was like fully emoting into it was perfect. I think it's genius for so many reasons. And one of them in the context of this particular event is that it's so easy to make Les Mis program all about the drama, and actually having the cut finish with the like weird, are they ghosts, but very hopeful epilogue of the, do you hear the people saying reprise in the second act? It is like so hopeful. And it's like, I'm not gonna like go into how moving the story of Les Mis is to me personally, but I just think it's such a smart and beautiful choice. And it was like so well placed within this event to be like, here's all the way life has screwed me over. Here's like why we're doing a revolution. Here's all the garbage shit, and then end on the hopeful note of like the people are gathering and here's like how this is gonna be good.
I mean, yeah, like Les Mis is also it's also about fighting a war that you know you're gonna lose and you're not gonna win, but you're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So I think that was poignant. Like, I think I didn't know as much about Young Yu's personal like narrative as a skater as I did some of the other skaters going into the Olympics. And I didn't know that she had been so, I don't know, like hard on herself and really like affected by the fact that she like couldn't do a quad or like she had to learn a triple axel because, you know, just to keep up and like be competitive with the Russians. And I think she was probably some, I mean, I think they were all out there probably like in this bizarre headspace of like,
I've done everything.
Yeah, I guess turns out I was doing the most a person could do in a fair world. And also the people I was trying to catch are like cheating. And I don't know how one deals with that. But I think that it must feel very liberating in like a chaotic burn it all down kind of way. And that's the energy that I got from Young Yu, which was really fun as an audience member.
I feel like if I were in any of their boots, I would fully be like, you know what? I've done everything. And now you're all gonna fucking watch me. The point where you realize that you've done the best with, like, the resources, legal or otherwise, that you have, I think that would make me feel unhinged in, like, the best possible way given the circumstance.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I said as an audience member, I think I was wishfully projecting myself there. I wasn't physically there.
Yeah, but we were still observing.
That's true. We were like metaphorical audience members in our metaphorical studio.
Yes, yes, always and forever. Let me just hit you with a statement.
Okay.
Kari Sakamoto is the Olympic bronze medalist. And period. That's it. There is no, oh, she might have to wait for a medal. There is no, oh, things might change because of XYZ. She just is. She got to have her ceremony. She has the hardware. She was perfect, and she was, like I said, so fucking undeniable that all the fucking number moving around in the world couldn't stop her. And I, for one, as a Kari stan from day one, feel fucking amazing about it.
Yeah, it is a good day to be alive on this earth and a Kari Sakamoto stan. And it just will be forever now because she has her bronze medal. It felt like she did it for her and Wakaba. Like,
yeah,
it just, but mostly for her. She deserved it. Like,
yeah,
the short was phenomenal. Obviously, Now We Are Free is a hilarious song to skate to as the last person in the short for like 8 different reasons. Also, it's funny to do your short program to a song that says like, I'll see you again, but not yet. And it's like, I'll see you in 2 days when I do my free skate.
The entire, just the overarching narrative of the short program, which I think like Jackie and other people pointed out, starting with Chabatova, who is, by the way, safely evacuated and not in Ukraine and is fine. Starting with her amazing like Slavic waitress Carol of the Bells, starting at Christmas and ending with Now Where You're Free continues to be like the funniest through line of the short program event. Like, yeah. I know we shouldn't be laughing about all of it, but like sometimes the universe just makes a nice little playlist.
Yeah, that's sometimes it does. Whoever produced the event, like, good job. And I think it was the universe because draws are random and scores are determining orders and stuff.
The universe was just having a little fun with the order, and that's acceptable.
I have to talk about her free skate, like, for at length, just for a long time. I watched it again yesterday, and I think I broke down in tears 1 second in, which I think is a new record for me.
I saw your tweet about that, and I teared up at the tweet. I think I'm trying to figure out the degrees of separation within which I can think about that free skate and start weeping. I think at this point, if I just see like a beautiful cobalt blue or a bronze as colors, it's enough for me. And also, y'all fucking haters who were kind of making fun of this program earlier in the season, do you fucking get it now?
They do. I think they do. Like, I think that they do. And I don't know how much of this program choice and everything was really Benoit being like, fuck you, like, people who aren't letting Kauri win because she's not, like, 12 years old and doing quads.
Well, but given his social media presence recently.
Yeah, one imagines quite a lot, right? And you get,
Yeah, speaking of just, like, angry French punks, I'm going back to Les Mis. I feel like 80% of it was Benoit sipping on a good wine and being like, y'all know what? There is a song. And we're doing this song. And it paid off. One way or another, it fucking paid off.
I mean, yeah, if I'm Benoit and I choreograph and work with extensively the best skater in the world, and yet she never gets on the podium and I'm pissed about it, like, yeah, I'll pop off. Also, before we move any further, I want to reassure you that you're not the only one who gets emotional over dumb figure skating things at very little trigger, because I one time, like right after Javier Fernandez retired, I was in the McDonald's drive-thru and the McDonald's colors are the same as the Spanish flag colors, and I cried.
Did you find yourself crying under the Spanish flag?
I cried under the McDonald's flag, which is so much worse.
God, crying under the McDonald's arches is so funny, actually.
You're right, it was the arches. I don't think they have a flag. That would be alarming.
Oh.
And then they would have to, like, put it at half mast when the Grimace dies or something.
I want to invite you into a thought exercise once again. It's one of my many Benoit Rochet thought exercises. I know we've done, like, a genre generator before. I want to invite you into being the universe for a second. I want you to imagine that you are the choreographer who's working with a woman who keeps not winning because the world's not fair. What are the songs that you would do? What are the songs in your, like, fuck you, look at me playlist?
Okay, so my immediate thought was the same immediate thought I had when I was putting together my... my senior recital in college right after I had gotten cheated on.
Oh, God.
And I sang Maybe This Time in the world's most on-the-nose choice.
But, Jesus, but you were like 18, Megan.
I was 22. But I think Kaori skating to Maybe This Time I'll Win would be fucking hilarious.
My immediate thought was Not Ready to Make Nice by the Chicks.
Yeah.
I think that'd be... First of all, I think we should do more country on ice. I think it's fun. Secondly, I just think the... Because I'm mad as hell, drive behind the chorus would be so fun.
Or, like, before he cheats. I mean, think about it. Maybe next time he will think before he cheats.
Before he cheats.
He being the creepy doctor who just stands there and we're always like, who's that? Oh, don't worry about him.
Yeah, he's just a man. He's just a little guy.
He's just a little guy.
So what we're leaning towards here is just like the songbook of country music for scorned women .mp3.
No, I think that's, what's the, oh God, there was one I was gonna...
I think there's like a Kelly Clarkson that could work in there.
Absolutely.
Since you've been gone.
Since you've been gone would be funny to skate at Worlds when Russia's not
there. I was going to say Kaori winning Worlds skating since you've been gone would be a moment. Hey, if you're listening to this and thinking of seven other scorned woman songs, tweet all of them at me. I'll make an actual playlist and it's going to be fucking lit.
Yeah, man. No, but the actual lyrics of this song are hard to top, I think, because it starts out with like, I love being a woman and blah, blah, blah. Right off the top, right? It's like, I'm a woman and not like, I love being a woman. And then she, and okay, here are the ones that make me cry. When she says independent and Kaori mouthed independent
like
and
fucking lip syncs, I know.
Oh, that's so cute.
Fucking Olympic moments, girl. It's so much.
And it's like the lyrics that are like, I've given you everything. Like, what else do you want? Do you want my soul? Do you want my body? Like, it was so, it was, God, it would be on the nose if it was fiction, but like, it wasn't. So it just felt very like, yeah. And then strength and beauty must go together. Like,
God,
all this stuff
yeah.
of just like, yeah. Cause that's something that I think in particular Japanese women's skating really emphasizes is like
yeah.
strength as opposed to like, you know.
Yeah, just, yeah, we know.
We know. We know. As opposed to, you know.
I feel like I like to imagine Benoit like driving down a beautiful French road and he hears that song and has to like aggressively pull over to Shazam. Like, what is this? This is the one.
See, but you said driving down a beautiful French road and I pictured like a country road and he's in his horse and buggy and he had to be like, Saint-Pierre, stop the horses.
Saint-Pierre. Are you OCing his horses now? Is that?
No. His driver is Saint-Pierre. He didn't name his horse Saint-Pierre.
Why not? I think Saint-Pierre is actually a very good horse name.
I mean, it is, but if you're in a horse-drawn carriage, you don't pull it over by telling the horse to pull over
in
verbally.
In my fantasy, Benoit was his own driver of the buggy situation.
And he's the horse whisperer.
I just imagine him with, like, a little straw hat. It's one of his usual hats, but it's, like, a straw version.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, because you gotta keep the head protected from the sun in the French
yeah,
countryside.
It's so shiny. Oh, God.
Also shiny is Kaori's bronze medal. The end.
A sucks up about some other women who were there in no particular order. I'm just going to start yelling.
That sounds perfect. So Luna Hendricks was the top scoring non-Russian European woman, which I think at some point, I forget who it was, but I think it might have actually just been like a Belgian commentator who just straight up said that. Yeah, and if you don't count the Russians, she won Europeans.
Well, beer, right? And they should say it.
Yeah.
She's officially going to Worlds and everything, and I'm fucking thrilled for her. She ended up in 8, all told, and she was, like, not 100% pleased with her skates, but I feel like given just, like, the complete mindfuck of everything, she was, as usual, just fucking gorgeous. I've been a fan of her, like, style and stuff, but I feel like she's grown into it so much recently.
I want to talk about Alyssa Liu, who...
Me all the time.
Just had the best time in Beijing overall. Just was like, this is summer camp. I'm here with my friends and, like,
guys, they
my
got
older
peach
cousins.
Juice here.
They got peach juice here. Like, she's just, oh, incredible. Incredible.
If I were
vibes.
Alyssa, I would start selling, like, minimalist t-shirts that just say they got peach juice here.
Yeah, because that's
I would
the,
purchase that
do.
So fast.
That's the Alyssa merch we need and crave. And Alyssa did so well. And it was so sweet because after all of the talk of, like, oh, Alyssa's going to be the next whatever, whatever. And then, oh, no, Alyssa went through puberty and now she's deceased. It's like Alyssa went and did a clean skate. I think she, like, under-rotated the triple axel, but, like,
who cares?
Didn't have any falls, didn't have any, like, catastrophic mistakes in either program, and she was fucking thrilled. She was, like, over the moon, could not believe getting to go to the Olympics and skate 2 clean programs, and, like, to me, like, as someone who's been worried that she's gonna end up as one of these kids who's, like, oh, no, like, I'm so hard on myself, I can't ever, like...
Yeah,
happy about
have
anything.
Fun with it. Yeah.
Like, that's all you want is somebody who's like, I'm just so excited to be here and I skated 2 clean programs. It's a dream come true.
Yeah, she's perfect. And honestly, I completely see 2026 for her. If that's what happens, I would be fucking thrilled. I think this is such a fucking wild, beautiful swing into like the next chapter of her skating career. And it's just very exciting.
It's true. And, like, I think I would be equally happy to see her, like, be a skater with a really long career that is able to sustain that kind of competitive life because she has such a normal life to fall back on. And I would also be happy to see Alyssa just be like, you know what? Nah, I'm gonna go to college and whatever.
Yeah, she's already been to the Olympics. She's done it. She's a national champion, been to the Olympics. If she wanted to retire tomorrow, I'd be sad, but I'd be so proud of her.
Yeah, and it's like, it's good because they're like somebody who has that attitude of like a normal person who's like going to the Olympics, coming in the top 10, being multiple time national champion. That would be enough for literally like almost anybody on earth. And when it's not enough for really, really top athletes, you think, okay, well, that's why they're top athletes, because they're that driven. But it also sounds like it must be really exhausting to have that mentality of like, it's never enough. And so as the greatest show person, Alyssa is like, person. I don't know. It is enough. It's enough. It's always enough. Yeah. Good for you, Alyssa.
God, I'm so proud of her. Mariah Bell was everything. Always. I feel like her and her team, Adam in particular, I feel like they were kind of hit by the events that were unfolding around women's. But God, her free skate, just, I can't think of one time I've watched Mariah skate Hallelujah and not cried. Like,
it's true.
Since she premiered that program in 2019. I think it's every fucking time.
Yeah, and like, it's funny because I honestly couldn't tell you exactly from a tactical standpoint off the top of my head a month later, like, what happened. Like, did she fall? I don't remember, you know? And that's, but I think that's telling because I think that my takeaway, if I were to summarize for you, totally cold what happened with Mariah, is that I've seen her skate better, but I've also seen her skate worse. And I think she went out there, did a beautiful job, did the best she could do on that day, and has everything to be proud of. And she moved people the same way that she always does and the way that she always prioritizes in her skating. So just like a stunning Mariah skate.
Yes, always. I could go on, and I'm not gonna, because there's just so many, such extensive record of me going on. What I'm going to say, I'm going to encourage you, wherever you are, whatever you're drinking right now, raise a fucking glass to fucking Adam Rippon, who fucking needs a drink.
Yeah, I just admire him so much for always being
so, this man.
So outspoken and just always saying what we're all thinking and what we all wish any coach would say. And a lot of coaches are saying now, to be fair. Yeah.
I'm just so excited for his generation to more and more and more move into the positions that he's holding now, because I think that's going to be like a huge shift in just like the way we interact as in this culture.
Well, yeah. And as a recently retired skater who's now coaching some skaters that he used to be teammates with and training mates with, I think he's in a unique position where he probably shares a lot of the same perspectives as his similarly aged students and former teammates. And yet he can say things in the way that their hands are sort of tied because they're still competing. And so I think it's really good that he's using that position of, I'm not being scored personally anymore, that I can say these things and show other young people that as people, as people
me,
who are
Adam
like,
Rapon here,
as I, Adam
Rapon,
I'm channeling him through a Ouija board.
He's very much alive. He's just on a Ouija board for funsies.
Yeah, well, what do you do when you're Adam Rapon? No, I think that when you're in that age range of like the next guard of leaders in the sport, like the people who are either really, really seasoned competitors or recently retired competitors who are now coaching or going into more administrative roles in the sport, like they're the ones who, I'm thinking of Caitlin Weaver too, like they're the ones who are really using their voices to voice the concerns of the skaters, because they're kind of still, I don't know what I'm saying, but they're kind of still like one foot in that world in a way.
Yeah, I think it's also, I think it's that, and I think it's like this is the first like full generation, and I'm kind of going like 10 years back as well, like I'm thinking of like 5 to 10 years back, like the Charlie Whites of the world and stuff. I think we're in a very unique position where all of the former competitors who are now moving into other positions are also like very much like online, and I don't mean that as like they know the memes, I mean that as like they're very engaged in like the conversations that are being had, and like they have access to the same information that we're seeing and all of that. And I don't want to put it all on like this glorified group of like 10 people that I personally very much like admire as advocates and voices in the sport. But I feel like it's giving me a lot of hope to like know that we have people who actively have like their finger on a pulse, so to speak, of the sport in those positions now, and that's going to continue to grow.
Yeah,
in the next couple years.
It's because what it feels like is that this sort of old guard of like the old ways, the old traditions, like the people who are, you know, not to be ageist, because there's a lot of great people at all ages in the sport. If you think of the judges that are like, I've been around forever and I'm doing things the way we did them like 60 years ago. I think that there's this sense of like, there are certain things we don't talk about. There are certain things we don't acknowledge. There are all these things we look the other way on. And this sort of new guard is saying like, no, we're going to say the quiet part loud.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's precisely it. I think there's always been good people, and I think there's ways to be older and amazing, and there is ways to be a young garbage person. And we're not saying it's like, oh, they're young, so they're hip and cool. But I think there is a new approach to like respecting the sport, where it's not like, oh, we're gonna respect the sport, so we're gonna like admire it as this perfect, uneditable piece of art. And it's more like, we love the sport, and here's why we're gonna bitch about so many things.
Exactly. I do want to say, we're talking about the American women, that Karen had a bad time in singles, and I felt really bad. Miss Karen Chen, who is one of these most beautiful singles female skaters.
Flawless.
Ever in the world. She did so beautifully in the team event, and then she at the singles she had trouble, and I think it was her ankle. She's been having a recurring ankle thing. I remember as far back as like early 2020 nationals that year she had an issue, and she didn't make a big deal out of it or really talk about it until afterwards, which I respect. It would have been fine if she did, but I understand why you wouldn't want that to be at the forefront of like the media story around you going into the Olympics. But I feel bad, and I'll say this again. I think that it's a mistake to put the team event first before the singles.
Oh, yes.
Because you're tiring out skaters for a scoring system that doesn't reward them putting
in the effort.
Yeah. And then later when they go out to compete for themselves in the competition that, let's face it, kind of matters more given the historical weight of it, they're tired or they've aggravated an injury that they only had really one good skate in them on that ankle or whatever. I hate it. I feel like that's kind of what happened to Karen, and it made me really sad.
Yeah, I feel like several people fell prey to the, like, because you can't phone it in at the team event because you are working for your team. So you can't be like, well, fuck you, I'm not gonna like put in the effort because it's not the individual event. But it's like at the end of the day, you're working for like 6 points, 7 points. Like, what is that?
Yeah, Maddie Skeezus, who was this, literally, like, I think Nam called her the superhero of the Canadian team. She was. She was, like, the saving grace of that Canadian team and during the team event. And it was never going to be, like, is Canada getting on the podium? Because I know they won 4 years ago. There was this sense of, like, well, we still have to do our best. And so it was the difference between them doing very badly and, like, kind of middle of the pack. And that was all Maddie. And then, I mean, not all Maddie. I don't want to take it away from the other skaters, but
it was very much Maddie. I feel like the rest of the team would tell you it was mostly Maddie.
Yeah. And then she got into free skate. I mean, got into singles. I don't know what happened, but she seemed like she was tired from having already done a major competition that week.
Yeah, she just did. She just did so much. It was just so much. And she carried all of it in her strong little arms, and I respect her so much for it. She's another one, like Alyssa, I feel like, where I could both see her fucking top six in 4 years, or I could see her be like, yo, you know what? I'm done after fucking Canadian Nationals next year, and I would deeply respect both.
I really, yeah, I know. Like, I know she's actually, like, so, so, so smart. And I think, I forget if I'm mixing her up with somebody else who wanted to go study medicine or if she wanted to study music. I can't remember which, but both of those, I think, would be so cool for her. And I, at the same time, am like, I want to see her thrive and continue from a selfish place because I do think that she could kind of bring Canadian female singles back to the top. And she has every potential to be, like, even on podiums at Worlds in a few years. Like, no question in my mind.
Yes. So, Maddie, if you're listening. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's, I would respect so much the choice to, like, put yourself the human first. But I'm so excited for Maddie Skeezus, the athlete. And I hope we get to see more of her.
Yeah, and Canadian women do tend to have, like, these lovely long careers. Like, you don't typically see... Yeah, I mean, even, like, Gabby Dalman, who has had her struggles and has been in and out of international competition, is on Instagram today posting a reel of triple triples. Like, they just have a lot of tenacity and willingness to continue.
God, fucking Gabby Dalman's Instagram, like, videos... I fear for the lives of her rank mates every time. She just has so much speed, just all the time. And her triple triples travel so far. Anytime she posts a thing and there's just, like, some poor person just, like, doing their own thing in the back, I'm like, you're going to get killed. Parentheses, respectfully.
Yeah, seriously.
Yes, she's so fast. I want a real quick. Mention Ekaterina Korekova of Poland, who first of all finished 12th, which is amazing. And secondly, one of the many things that has been reducing me to tears every time I see it is, like, the little gif of her, like, literally pinching herself when she was done with her free skate.
It was so cute. She's just
so precious. God,
she's one of those skaters that really is the remedy to all of the bullshit that we spoke about last episode, because I believe there's a quotation from her that I've seen floating around. God, quotation, what am I fancy? There's a quote from her floating around that was like, in Russia, it was just a matter of, like, will I get to compete at all? Will I win? Blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, now that she skates for Poland, it's just like, I'll just go out and have fun. And that's, you know, you love to see it.
Yeah, and she's just, I think she's kind of young, like, young you, like, someone who's, like, grown into the expressiveness and the commitment. She's always had this, like, beautiful, like, very expressive face, but I think she, like, now knows when to give us the drama and when to give us, like, that beautiful beaming smile. And I'm just such a fucking fan. I think she's just delightful to me. Anytime I see her skate, it's just a treat.
Do you want to talk to me about Sasha Fagan?
I do. Sasha Fagan, I tweeted aggressively many times. She made history by making it into the free skate. It hadn't happened in 27 years for a Bulgarian singles figure skater. She's a fucking rock star back home now. She has been on talk shows and, like, what Nathan is doing in the US, Sasha's doing back home, basically. She's, like, getting the gigs and the coverage, and it's just fucking amazing. I don't think people in general have, like, cared about figure skating that much since Denkovin-Stavisky, so it's been a hot second for us. She had this very funny appearance at this late night show where, God, so there's a thing. I'm about to explain a cultural thing to you. In Slavic languages, most of them, we heard the word toe loop and we just kind of, like, Slavicized it to become the name of the the jump, and we say tuop, which sounds like a derogatory word of some sort. And for some reason, it's bled into like Bulgarian jargon, just like people who know nothing about where it comes from or like what it officially means would call like a dumb person a tuop. So Sasha had this interview where the guy like was like, so let's talk about tuopi, and they just talked about like garbage people. It was great.
Oh my god, I love that.
Yeah, it's like one of those weird things where then she shared like her story. She was like, watch me talk about the tuops in my life. It was great. It's fucking great. It's comedy. It's peak comedy.
Hell yeah. I want to shout out Josephine Tellegard, who got to the Olympics and did not make the free skate in another fucking ridiculous injustice. Robbery. I was like, she'll make it next time. And then I was like, oh my god, she's like 25. I mean, she still could make it next time, but like,
yeah,
good for her. She's like on the Mariah Bell age of the bell curve of old
ladies.
She's
actually older. She's 26.
Well, shit.
Good for her. Also, World is coming up. I'm looking very respectfully.
Can she just win Worlds? Can we just fucking have this universe, please? Can we have Josephine Tellegard and her weird, like, breakdancing in pants be the winner of Worlds? That's what I need right now.
I think the Worlds podium should be, like, Josephine Tellegard, Wakaba, and then just someone else. Like, I want it for Kari, but she already has a bronze from the Olympics. So just, like, spin the fucking wheel.
Yeah, for real. I love her. We love you, Josephine.
So much.
At this point, I think we are... Okay, so...
At this point in the recording, dear listener.
Dear listener, at this point in the recording, we realized that we've got, like, almost an hour of usable footage at this point, and... I think in the name of maybe... Oh God, so after all
Megan,
of our...
Megan, do you know what we've done?
We've made it so this isn't our last Olympics episode.
Yes! Yes! We can keep going. I think this is like a weird like dystopian fantasy situation where we like it's like never ending story of some sort.
Yeah, like if like, we keep covering it forever, it's never officially over.
Yeah, we didn't see the closing ceremony. We keep putting out content. It's not. Yeah. This is also, you know what? I'm fully at peace with giving women a full episode.
That's what they deserve.
It's what they deserve.
So, social media corner, here's what I want to talk about. I want to do a deep dive into Alyssa Liu's experience on Instagram because
they
have
peach juice there.
Because they have peach juice there. And we have talked about the peach juice. There was the hand sanitizer. Nah, that was great. I don't know how to describe it. It was just a gross frozen over hand sanitizer thing. She just posted,
It looked upsetting, gooey. And also, like, didn't she used to do slime? Like, she would know if it's not.
Yeah, I trust her when it comes to slimy.
As a world-renowned slime reviewer.
A slime scientist. A slimologist.
A slimentist,
yep. No, so here's what I want to talk about. Right after the free, Alyssa went on Instagram Live and was eating some dumplings and was, like, freaking out. And it was just the sweetest thing. She just kept being like, I don't know, I can't believe it. Like, this feels surreal, blah, blah, blah. Talking about how. Talking about... how happy she was for she was talking like a Animal Crossing. She was talking about how excited she was for all the other skaters, how she and Young Yu have gotten so close, and she was crying talking about how well she did. And then the two of them did their Squid Game cosplay, which I was like, are they gonna do this on ice? And then it's like, no, they just did it for fun.
Yeah, sometimes you and your friends just play dress up for fun.
I fucking love that for them. Like, that's what they deserve. They deserve to be dumb kids dressing up in silly costumes. And like,
I feel like that's the real Olympic spirit for me, is like people from different federations and different countries and shit, like hanging out and having like winter camp and fucking around and having fun with each other and like appreciating each other's performances and all of that. I think that's just the best part.
Yeah, it's like, you spent so much time being a talented, capable kid in a beautiful costume. Why not be a dumb kid in a dumb costume for a little bit? And then Alyssa also was like, oh God, I thought we were going to get some tea spillage on there. But basically there was this, I think someone was asking about Alyssa's opinion on everything that happened around like Russia and the medals and everything. And she just kept being like, I shouldn't say anything. I'll get in trouble. But I'm already in so much trouble. Should I say something? I have so many thoughts. I want to share, but I can't. And I was like, oh my God, spill the tea, girl. But I don't want her to get in trouble, so.
Yeah. Also, while we're on the Alyssa Lou pedestal, we already got 5,000 whatever likes on that one tweet. She is a fucking masterclass in conducting yourself on the internet. She does it better than most adults. Some fucking bad faith bullshit asshole, like, accused her of not, like, posting about what's happening in the world. And her response to that, I'm not gonna, like, read it or anything. We've tweeted it, and it's also on her Instagram, was so, like, collected and smart. And it, like, really speaks to, like, how clever of a young person she is, where she can be very, like, outspoken, and we've seen her, like, be an advocate for, like, social causes and all of that. And then she knows when to be like, I don't know enough, I'm not gonna spread misinformation. If you're that much of a fucking activist, do it yourself. She didn't say if you're that much of a fucking activist, but that's basically what she said, and I would like to know her Rank's address so I can send her a bunch of cookies.
Yeah, just unbelievable. And like, if you're worried that Alyssa was going to be sad to come home from Olympic winter camp, do not fear, because Alyssa has gone home to their clique of wonderful little quirky friends, and they went to a Mitski concert, they went bowling, and they put all of their
they
names
were the only people
as,
at the
like,
Mitski concert not bullying Mitski.
Oh my God, yeah, they were at the Mitski concert, and they were like, we won't have our flash out, that's fine. Oh God, that whole thing made me so mad. And then the thing that, like, almost reduced me to tears was that they went bowling and they put all their names in the computer as, like, stupid, like, dirty words and stuff. And that was, like, literally what me and my friends did in high school. And I kept thinking, like, it would have been weird if my high school experience was exactly the same, but then one of my best friends also was just at the Olympics, like, a couple weeks ago. Like, that would have been strange, but they're pulling it off. And I, God bless them all. They're so cute.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. It's just like, oh, my friend's back. Where was she? Oh, she was at the Olympics.
Bowling is so underrated. I want to go bowling as soon as it's right, like, now. Safe and possible. Let's go.
I have this, one of my core memories of my teen years is my friends and I went bowling immediately after watching the film Inception at the movie theater. And I just remember watching this bowling ball inch ever closer. And I just, to this day, I'm not convinced that I ever woke up.
Well, it's not a bad place to have sort of ended your consciousness of the real world, right? I mean,
yeah,
like,
no,
Obama was president.
Obama was president. I was in high school. Things were fun.
But then we would have never met, so.
Well, oh my God. Yeah, maybe if we're still in my dream, I've, like, seen you somewhere. Because you know, like, how people in your dreams are just, like, faces you saw, like, on the street or something.
Am I your tulpa? Do I only exist in your mind?
Fuck, Megan, we gotta wrap this up. I can't.
Yeah, I might accidentally unexist myself if we unravel this too far.
Yeah, so we're calling it right here.
We are. Also, go on Mariah Bell's Instagram because she posted a cute video of her dog barking at its own reflection. And that's, like, just some classic, good, wholesome internet fare.
Yeah, that's, like, old school dawn of the internet content. Yeah, I think this concludes our women's coverage. We weren't fully prepared to be splitting this, but sometimes a bunch of beautiful women sneak up on you and you have to talk about it for an hour.
What a hardship.
What else? Thank you again so much for listening. Thank you for coming along with this weirdly extended ride. Our Olympic coverage is like my Inception dream. It's just never gonna end. And we're thrilled for it. Before we go, once again, reminding you to, first of all, take care of each other and yourselves. Secondly, take care of us. Drop us a nice word somewhere. And if you have the ability to support us on Patreon, that would make us very happy and very grateful and enable our attempt at doing a little bit of good in the world. Megan, do you want to let me bask in the just truly amazing, ever-growing, mind-blowing list of people who are already in our corner over on patreon.com/heistypod.
Yeah, on all levels other than physical, I'm constantly repeating this list of people like a mantra, like Arya Stark, except instead of
Arya Stark, but it's like Arya Stark
instead of
positive.
Murder, it's like, yeah, Arya Stark, but positive. Like, I want to I want to do the opposite of murder you. I want to, like, make your life amazing. Because you make our lives amazing, and you are Freya, Casey, Josiah, Sabrina, Annie, Carissa, Magical Zebra in Winter, Linnea, Gina, Yana, Alina, Kenneth, Rob, Catherine, Margaret, Marjorie, Jimmy, Natalie, Robert, Kate, Skating Scores, Vox Machina, Adela, Greta, Tryhard Radio, Samantha, Jesse, Kieran, Mary, Jana, Barbara, another Barbara, Sunny, Erin, Aura, Sally, Samira, Joseph, KM. In spirit, I am always throwing plushies out of Genya Medvedeva, Jennifer, Heath, Jules, Danny, and Jordan.
Simply overwhelmed by the length of this list. Thank
I feel
you
like an auctioneer
so
now when I read that off.
Thank you all so very much. Thank you for coming to the auction. Thank you for everything. And if you're here and listening, thank you for joining us. It truly means the most. And come back very soon, because we're going to do this again. And next time it's going
to
be men.
Hell yeah. We'll talk to you guys soon. Stay safe. We love you. And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.